Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
We've each been given by God one lifetime with limited resources. How you steward those resources is your gift back to God. And today we're going to discover how to steward life in light of eternal priorities. Stay with us next with Dr. Paul Chappell, a new series, Stewarding Life. Truly, life is a gift from God, and each of us has one lifetime to live with limited resources. So here's the question today. Are you spending or are you investing your life? God has given you a life and filled it with resources like time and health and finances and relationships. How you steward those resources will determine whether you successfully fill God's eternal purpose for your life. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this is Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope you'll join us for every step of this journey, stewarding life. You can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you do, you can listen to recent broadcasts, including all of the broadcasts for this series, Stewarding Life. And be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's new book that goes along with this series. It's entitled Stewarding Life. It's a couple hundred pages hardback, and it encapsulates all the great truths we're studying in one hardback book. You can find information about all of these resources at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Well, now let's begin our series in Genesis chapter 1, Stewarding Life. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, today we begin a study about the privilege and the responsibility of stewarding life. And we see in our text this morning that life is certainly a gift from God. I hope you picked up on that as we read just a moment ago. In Genesis 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, God created. And the word created means that God brought life into existence. One author said, God is distinct from his creation. He isn't a part of it. It isn't a part of him. He didn't arise from it. It didn't arise from him. He spoke, and where nothing was before, it was. And so the Bible says God created something where nothing existed prior. And then that wonderful word in chapter 2 and verse 7, we're going to study this morning, the word formed. The Bible says there that God formed man. And this word formed means to visibly shape into a configuration or a style or a design. How many of you believe, as I believe, that God is the greatest artist that ever existed? Amen? I mean, he formed man and he formed this world, and what a creative God we serve today. Now, there are three introductory truths we'll learn about in the message this morning, and I want you to get this with me as we start today. First of all, we're going to learn that life is a gift, and this gift is from God. And secondly, we're going to learn throughout these weeks that life is brief, and we don't want to waste our days on this earth. And thirdly, we're going to learn that life is to be lived for the glory of God. That's the purpose of it all, not to live for ourselves, but to live for the glory of God. Years ago, about 20 years ago, I was involved with some men writing the purpose statement for our church, and we were trying to succinctly describe why do we exist as a church. And I think that's good, and yet I think it's also important that throughout this series, we would all ask the question, what's my purpose as a person on this earth? What is God's will for my life? And when I was around 30 years of age, I wrote down these words for my life. The purpose of my life is to glorify God by living with the mind of Christ, loving and providing for my family, and impacting my generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you might write yours differently, and you might put some other things in there. But let me tell you, all of us need to be living with this thought. I want God to get glory from my life. He gave this life to me. It's not mine to squander. It's the gift that He's given to me, and I want to steward that for Him. Now you say, Pastor Chappell, why are you so emphatic? Why are you preaching a whole series on stewarding life, all the stuff of life? Why is this so important to you? Well, that's what we're going to learn about today. I want you to learn with me, first of all, the origin of life. You see, you won't understand how special it is until you understand where it really came from. The origin of life. In Genesis chapter 1, we learned just a moment ago that life begins with our eternal God, our eternal God. Numbers 14 and verse 21, God says, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." God says, "As truly as I live." In other words, He is eternal. He is eternal God. Jeremiah 17, 13 tells us that He is the fountain of living waters. He is the source of life. Psalm 36 and verse 9, "For with Thee is a fountain of life, in Thy light, we shall see light." You see, Jesus Christ is described here as the self-existent one. God is describing Himself as being self-existent. In Exodus 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And He said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Only a self-existent God could create something or someone from nothing. He is the I am that I am. And so the origin of life comes not from a scientific laboratory, for even the greatest scientist must begin with matter created by God. The origin of life is not with us. The origin of life is with the I am that I am, our eternal God. But not only is He our eternal God, this morning we celebrate and we learn more of this fact, He is our creating God. He is Creator God. Now in Genesis 1:26 we read, "And God said, let us make man in our own image." Now think about the wording there. Don't just quickly go over that. Listen to those words again. "And God said, let us make man in our own image." What a wonderful reference to the triunity of our God. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. Let us together make man in our own image. And so God created, the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, He created man in His own image. Male and female created He them. And the Bible says that Adam was in the likeness of God. And I believe the primary reference there is speaking not to a physical visage, but primarily to the fact that Adam was sinless. When Adam was created, he was without sin, like God is without sin. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:24, "And that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Adam was in the likeness of God. He was the original new man. He had no sin. That's why he was like God. Now, some have different accounts of God's creating men and women. Someone said that God created Adam. He looked at him and said, "I can do better than that." And so He created the woman. I'm not sure if that's how it happened. I think God created man and woman. They were both in His image without sin. And His intention was to fellowship with them as His created beings. God created. And then we read in Genesis 2:7 that wonderful word, formed. And I want you to hear it again. "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life." Now try to picture that if you would for just a moment. God, through His own breath, produced and combined with the bodily form that principle of life, that person of life, that man named Adam. God, the eternal one, the I am that I am. Imagine Him forming from the dust of the ground the form of a man and then breathing His breath into that man and giving him life. What a picture of how life really began. God created Adam. God breathed life into Adam. And so this morning we want to steward life. life because it originated from God. I want you to think about that, the origination of life. But I want you to think secondly with me this morning about the sanctity of life. The sanctity of life. Now, why is it that we as Christians take so seriously the sanctity of life? Why is it that we as Christians believe that it is so important? Well, I want you to know why this morning. It is because life is provided by God. Life is provided by God. You see, putting aside the rancor of political speak and putting aside party line divisions, at the very baseline, if there were no political parties today, a Bible-believing Christian should make much of life because God and His Word make much of life. And I want you to learn with me what he says. You see, life is sanctified and recognized by God at the moment of conception. And I want you to see this as a biblical issue with me. Jeremiah 1:5, notice this. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God did not say, Jeremiah, you were just some fetal matter in there. You didn't matter at all. God said, you know, Jeremiah, I knew you in your mother's womb. God said, Jeremiah, I had a plan for your life. When he spoke about John the Baptist, the Bible says in Luke 1:15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, folks, I want you to understand this morning that from the mother's womb, God says, I've got a purpose for that life. You know, as I do, that a baby's heart begins to beat in his mother's womb at the 20-day mark. You know as well as I do that life begins in that womb. And you know perhaps as well that the word child in the New Testament, when you study the Greek word for child, that same word is used for the child in the mother's womb as well as the child outside of the mother's womb. So when we talk about life being special to God, God says life is sanctified. I'm the giver of life, and it begins even in the mother's womb. What a tragedy then to think about abortion in America or the ending of so many lives. Roughly 1.2 million abortions every year in our country. And I know many to whom I speak this morning have been touched in one way or another. And I don't speak to bring guilt this morning. A lot of people are just kind of doing what society does. And they've been told it really doesn't matter that much. But what does God have to say about the innocent preborn child? 53 million times since Roe v. Wade, life has been taken away from a mother's womb. There were more than 47 abortion patients for every one receiving prenatal care in Planned Parenthood clinics last year. There were 47 that were there for abortion and only one to receive prenatal care from so-called Planned Parenthood last year. In fact, in 2010, abortions outnumbered adoption referrals at Planned Parenthood by a margin of 340 to 1. 340 times the choice was abortion. One time, the choice was adoption. About 17% of all the abortions performed in America last year were on teenage children. All of this simply to say, America isn't pausing to even consider what God says about the sanctity of life. Planned Parenthood on their website, which I observed just recently, tells teenagers how they can legally get an abortion without informing their parents. You see, America is disregarding the origin and the sanctity of life. There was a Christian teacher named Rabbi Zacharias lecturing last year at the university in Ohio, Ohio State University. And as he was there, he was being interviewed by a radio host who was an atheist. And there was a lot of strong feelings in the room where he was speaking and from those calling in on the radio. A lot of antagonism. One lady called in and she knew that Rabbi Zacharias was a Christian man. And she said, all you people are is people with an agenda you're trying to promote. She was referring to abortion. She said, you want to take away our rights and invade our private lives. Now, abortion had not been brought up prior to this particular caller. And so this teacher said, just a minute. We haven't even raised the subject. She said, all right. Well, what is your position on abortion? He said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? He said, as I lecture in the universities across America, often somebody will stand up and say how God is an evil God because he allows evil in this world. She said, that's right. And he said that the person typically says, you know, if a plane crashes, sometimes 30 people are killed and 20 people live. And what kind of an evil God would choose to let some live and some die? Rabbi Zacharias continued, but when we play God, and when we determine whether a child within a mother's womb should live or die, we argue that that is our moral right. So when a human being has the privilege of playing God, it's called a moral right. But when God plays God, we call it an immoral act. Can you justify that for me? Now, friends, as we think about the sanctity of life, we need to recognize that God is the originator. He has provided life, and it is not up to us to take away life. Our doctors who take oaths for their profession take an oath to fulfill the giving of life and the continuation of life, and whether it's the preborn child or the 80-something-year-old woman in a rest home today, God says life is valuable, and He is the originator of life, and He sanctifies life. It's been provided by God. And secondly, I want you to notice, it is protected by God. Life is protected by God. Exodus 20:13. One of the first things we teach people in church and Sunday school, my wife is teaching the fourth grade girls right now the Ten Commandments. And in Exodus 20:13, the Bible simply says it this way, "Thou shalt not kill." And the prohibition of murder God brought into the world right after the first family experienced sin and Adam and Eve's own children experienced murder. In the New Testament, Matthew 5:21, ye have heard that it is said of the old time, "Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." You see, this respect for life is underscored then by the penalty God attaches to murder. Go to Genesis 9:6 in your notes and you'll recall, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he the man." You see, the law of Moses sanctions the taking of human life as a penalty for serious crimes committed against God and man. And we see that God says, listen, I don't want you taking life. I have sanctified it. And if someone murders someone else, to let you know how strongly I believe about life, God says, then their life should be taken. And then the New Testament implicitly affirms the right of governmental authorities to impose the death penalty in Romans chapter 13 and verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now God says, I've given you a government, I've given you police officers so that they can avenge evil. We don't want to have people running around avenging things for themselves. And yes, there should be a fair court of law, but God says when someone is guilty of taking another's life and they have been apprehended by the authorities, that God says it is within the realm of Scripture that their life be taken. Now I understand Jerry Brown and the legislature in Sacramento and many across the nation today. They have differing opinions about the subjects of the sanctity of life and about the subject of capital punishment. But I'm not here to tell you what the culture's saying today. We're here today to learn what God says about life. And God says, I created life and I sanctify life, and that life is special and life is to be guarded even in this day in which we live. And so we've seen the origin of life and then the sanctity of life. And now I want you this morning to notice with me the sovereignty of God over life. The sovereignty of God over life. Now, it is at this point that we come to a subject where all of us from time to time have a soul-searching moment or two. We wonder about it. Why, Lord, do bad things happen to good people? Why, Lord, did that good person, why were they called home early? Why do we go through these times in our lives? And the umbrella over which these questions are answered is the sovereignty of God. And in many senses of the word, those questions will not be answered until we see God face to face. But God says, I'm sovereign in the affairs of life. And so let's learn about that this morning. First of all, God is sovereign in the giving of life. He's sovereign in the giving of life. And I want you to think about that with me this morning. Think, for example, of Sarah in the Old Testament. And the Bible says in Genesis 18:13, "And the Lord God said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, in Sarah's day, just like in our day today, it wasn't really known for 80 and 90-year-old women to have children. And Sarah was laughing at the thought of having a child, but God asked this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And according to the will of God, Sarah's womb was open, and Sarah gave child, not just for Sarah and Abraham, but for the redemptive line and for God's plan to be completed. And we learn in that a lesson. God is the giver of life. How about Hannah? In Hannah's life in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Now later the Bible tells us that the Lord opened her womb. So again we see the Lord opens the womb, the Lord closes the womb. How many of you are getting the picture? He's sovereign in the giving of life. Why do some people have the blessing of life? And why do some have to wait 12 years before they conceive? And why do some never conceive? God is sovereign in the giving of life. Think about the story of Hezekiah in Isaiah 38 and verse 1. The Lord said to Hezekiah through Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, I don't know about you, but if I wake up tomorrow morning and if I were to look up in the sky and see a sign that said, Paul, set thine house in order, that might be an ominous moment for me. You walk out of the house tomorrow and says, hey, Bubba, set your house in order. And it's written in the sky, right? And God's saying, I want you to know, you better get ready, for thou shalt die and not live. But look at the verse 5. God, the same God, says to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add to thy days 15 years. So the same God who can take away is the God who can give. And we begin to see that he is sovereign in the affairs of life, in the giving of life. God is sovereign. And then secondly, in the blessing of this life, God is sovereign. Now, my friends, this morning, God blesses according to his sovereignty and also according to our obedience or our disobedience. Did you know that many times the fate of a person or the fate of a nation depends upon whether life or blessing will come into their life is depending upon their obedience or disobedience to him? In Judges chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says that God delivered Israel out of the hand of their enemies all the days of that judge. Our forefathers understood this. Our forefathers wanted America to be blessed by God. And if you've ever walked through some of those buildings back in Washington, D.C., you've seen evidence of that. I remember saying prayer for a group of congressmen in the Rayburn Building years ago. And I looked behind me after I prayed, and I saw on the wall the words that said, where there is no vision, the people perish. You walk into the Senate chamber and you begin to look around. You look up to the dome and you'll see the words in Latin which say, God has favored our undertakings. You'll see the words as well, in God we trust. Our founding forefathers felt that if they would trust in the Lord, that he would favor the undertakings of their lives and he would give more life to America the more they trusted in him. That's why we should pray every day for spiritual revival in America.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're presently studying a series entitled Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this series and hear recent broadcasts when you visit dailyintheword.org. Be sure to also consider subscribing to our daily devotional and the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word, take it with you on your computer or phone, and listen to it at your convenience. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcast. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chapel's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.